Great, isn't God good? I think he is anyway. Who thinks God's good? Still can't hear you. Who thinks God's good? God is good all the time. All the time God is good. We're in a season now in church where God is reaching people's lives. And I'm having more opportunities to tell people about Jesus. I tell them and I talk to them as though they're already saved. If they don't know Jesus, my strategy is Jesus wants them saved. Therefore, I'll talk to them as though they're already saved. I'll take steps of faith. I'll step out and invite them to come to church. And this guest service is an opportunity for you to step out with us. I'm asking every one of you, absolutely every one of you, to bring somebody on the 18th. Is that okay? It's not an opt-out, this one. We'll let you have Boxing Day off as a special treat. But it is an important time for us, church. Really important time for us. So, what are we talking about today? Do you know it's soon be Christmas? So I thought we might just set the scene a little bit today. But also not just for today, not for Christmas, but also for the coming year. Part of our scene is devotion to God. Part of our theme is devotion to God. And we're going to continue with our devotion to God today. I've lost my notes. That's great, isn't it? It just disappeared. Maybe I should preach something else. We've talked about all this year how God is totally devoted to us. And his devotion to us is far greater than our devotion is to him. We've understood that his devotion is so great that we could never be devoted to him as much as he is devoted to us. But we can be devoted to him. We're going to start today to look at a verse that you'll know very well. We normally talk about it at Christmas. You'll have it on Christmas cards. You'll write on Christmas cards. You'll give it out. But we're going to look at how in this verse, it's all about God's devotion to us. His amazing devotion to us. So we're going to start by looking at Isaiah 7, verse 14. Let's read it together. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Let's stop. How often have we read that? Therefore, the Lord, who will give us a sign? Himself. But interestingly, that word himself has a special meaning. That means that he himself will be the sign. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Let's read again. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. What an amazing name, Emmanuel. We have two Emmanuels in church. Did you know that? Well, we have three because we have God with us and we have two other people called Emmanuel. So maybe God's saying something to us at the moment. So God himself will provide a sign, but the sign he provides will be himself. Does that make sense? The virgin will conceive. It has to be a God thing. It's God himself that will be with us. He will be called Emmanuel. So let's look at the words, the Hebrew words, Emmanuel. So we'll look at Emmanuel. We read E-E-M-A-N-U-E-L. Em means with. Anu is us. El is God. In Hebrew, you read back forwards, God with us. Emmanuel. And he will be called Emmanuel. This is the name of the Messiah. This is God's anointed one. This is him himself providing a sign for the world. Do you know that God is so devoted to you and I, to this world, bless you, that he sent or came himself personally for you? Isn't that amazing? Be a little bit like today, if the Queen loved Redditch and she loved this church, that she would come and personally visit. And that would be a great honour. I don't know if you're a royalist or not. I would be certainly honoured if she came. So you're invited any time, Queen, if you hear the sermon. We'd love you to come. God himself came because he's totally devoted to us to be with us. How often do we think about that? So I've been a Christian since 1600 and frozen to death. That's a long time. How often have I thought about that? How often have you thought about that God is so in love with you, he's totally devoted to you, that he wanted to be with you and he left heaven to earth to be with us? Isn't that amazing? Who thinks that's amazing? And it's good this time of year to focus and remember God's amazing devotion to us. When we study Hebrew, Emmanuel, it's actually much more than a name. A name tells us who the person is, what the person does. But in the Hebrew, when we look at this, it's actually a Hebrew sentence. And it's actually more than a Hebrew sentence. It's a declaration by God himself. And it's a declaration for us to say God is with us. Question for you. Is God with us only on a Sunday? Is he with us every day? Is he with us 24/7? God is with us personally 24/7. It's a Hebrew sentence. It's a declaration. If you look at the Hebrew structure of this, it's a sentence and it's a declaration. We declare today, God is with us. Would you tell the person next to you, God is with us? Would you tell them again in case they didn't hear it? And if God is with us, then who can be? What is it? If God is with us, who can be? You see, we come, as we've said on Sunday night in our deeper session, from a place of victory, not a place of defeat. Does that make sense? If God is with us, in everything we do, we already come from a place of victory, not a place of defeat. Yet how often do we come into a situation from a place of defeat rather than a place of victory? God is with us. By taking on the form of a man in flesh, that's incarnate. If people don't understand what the word incarnate means, it means God took on the form of man and took on flesh like you and I. He showed his devotion to us. God came to be with us in absolutely every circumstance of our life. Do you believe that? God came to be with us in absolutely every circumstance. But not only that, he came to be with us at all times, 24/7, and in all places. What does that tell us about his devotion to us? I think he thinks we're pretty special to him. He's with us in absolutely every circumstance, at absolutely every time, in absolutely every place we find ourselves. That is how devoted he is to us today. There are many scriptures that we could look at, especially in the New Testament, and we'll use one now that's a bit precious to me because I love Galilee, and those people that came on our trip to Galilee had a precious time in Galilee, but I love Galilee. And let's take one example of how God shows he's with his people. So let's read this scripture. Luke 8, 22 to 25. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." We have two lakes with us today, John and Felicity Lake. Their daughter got engaged on Friday. Congratulations. Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." What did Jesus say? So what was Jesus' plan? To go to the other side of the lake. So they got into the boat and set out. As they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." When this terrible storm hit, there are disciples in a small boat in a big lake. Anybody been to Sea of Galilee? It's a big lake. That's why they call it a sea. And when storms hit in Galilee, it was notorious that people died. The storm sank came so quickly and people drowned because the waves was so ferocious. We learnt last time we went that actually when the east wind blows and it comes down, that the waves can be between 8 and 10 feet high. So I'm 5 foot 10. That's about, what, 1.5 foot. So above me is the waves. Imagine you're in a small boat. Who likes being in a small boat in waves? No. They could have easily drowned. They could have easily died. But Jesus has said these words, let us go to the other side. Jesus knew where he was going. This storm wasn't unexpected to Jesus. It was very unexpected to the disciples, so much so they thought they were going to die. They were afraid. They thought, do you know what? This is, our days are up. Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, how can you sleep through this? But in the midst of this storm, Jesus, in the midst of the circumstance, in the midst of this time, in the midst of this place, Jesus shows one thing, his master over every circumstance. You see, it's okay when we look at miracles where Jesus makes the blind eyes see. Isn't that amazing? And when people are sick, he makes them well. And we love those miracles. And when he raises people from the dead. But what about having power over the wind, the elements? That's a different matter, isn't it? Jesus came, God with us, to show his power in every circumstance, in all times, in every place. Do you believe that? Even in the storms of life. Even when the storm comes, an unexpected storm in our life, which we never expect, and all of a sudden we are living our life, and then the boat starts to rock and the wind starts to come, and we notice around us that actually the waves are getting harder and life is becoming very uncertain. The storms have come. And I want to say to us in this room, there are times when storms come. We don't expect them. We know one day that they'll come, but when they come, they're totally unexpected. It's not what we expect. And we think Jesus is asleep in the boat. Yet Jesus is with us in the boat. And Jesus says words like, let us go to the other side. So it's not unexpected for Jesus. It's unexpected for the disciples, but not for Jesus. Jesus knows what's heading our way. Jesus knows every circumstance between now and Christmas, between the now and the next time, until he returns. Jesus knows every circumstance that faces us. That's why he is with us. So who believes God's with us in the storms of life? Put your hands up. So we're going to do something in a minute. We're going to make a declaration. We're going to make a statement. We're going to declare that our God is with us in the dot, dot, dot. Is that okay? So let's look at the first one. Let's read it together. God is with us in our... Let's say it again. God is with us in our... It's a declaration. It's a statement. Let's look at the next one. God is with us in our sorrow. Let's make a declaration, a statement on the next one. God is with us in our rejection. God is with us in our grief. God is with us in our bereavement. God is with us in our sickness. God is with us in the joys of life. We all like the last one, don't we? We all love the mountaintop experiences. But God is with us in every place, in every circumstance, at every time. And if those is one of you that we've just declared today, I want you to declare it regularly. My God is with me. And if my God is for me, then who can be against me? And I tell you, if the other side is heaven, Jesus is going to take us to the other side. We can't guarantee anything in life, but we can guarantee this, that Jesus is with us in the boat. God is with us. Whatever we go through today, whatever we will go through in the future, God is with us. It's a declaration of fact from God himself. There is no doubt, there is no discussion. Is God with us? Is God in the boat even with us? Is God asleep? No, the declaration from heaven is God is with us. That's good news for the church. That's good news for you and I today. Whatever we face, he is with you and I. There may be something else today that you want to add as a declaration. God is with us, dot, dot, dot. There might be something today that we haven't maybe covered in just those few statements, but to you it's very relevant. God is with us, dot, dot, dot. I want you to think about that today. We're going to do something with that a little bit later on. So in this declaration, Emmanuel, is that Jesus came as God from heaven to earth to be with us. Remember, in every place, every time, every circumstance. I know I've said it a number of times, but I want us to get it in our head. And when we leave today, we'll take this with us. Emmanuel is all about his devotion to us. And I could finish the sermon there. But that's just the introduction. Because there's so much more in God with us. You see, God with us is about his physical presence here today. Where does God live today? In us. He's with us. He's in us. He's with us. He's for us. He's in us. God with us is about his presence. Jesus was present with the disciples in the storm. Without his presence, there is no hope. I have to tell you that. Do you know that? Without him being with us, if God is not with us, we might as well just give up. There is no hope unless God is with us. But he is with us. Therefore, there is hope. Therefore, there is a future. Therefore, there is an amazing finish. The story finishes really well for every one of us. His devotion to us is wonderful. It's amazing. The more and more I think about this subject, the more and more I look at Scripture, it just jumps out to me. Scripture after Scripture after Scripture of his devotion to me, to you. The disciples, I think, in that boat were afraid. Do you think they were afraid? When I read that story, I think they were really afraid. Anybody been afraid in a storm? I'm not just talking about a storm where we get water and waves and all kinds of stuff. I'm talking about storms of life that come. Something hits us. And the first thing we do is we take our eyes off Jesus. And we become fearful. Do you know there are 365 scriptures in the Bible, one for each day, that talks about fear? Do you know why? Because as a people, we're fearful. If we'd have been in that boat, I reckon every one of us, myself included, we're thinking, I'm afraid. Now, some of us are good at not showing that we're afraid, and some of us are very good at showing we're afraid. Isaiah 40, 1. Verse 10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God gives this to the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah has already said that you will have a child and you will call him Emmanuel, that God himself will provide a sign. God is now encouraging the prophet. The prophet is obviously fearful. He's got to give out God's message to people that don't want to hear it. That they know, if you're a prophet, there's one in one chance you're going to be stoned. That's not on drugs or anything like that. That's with physical stones. Because the people didn't want to hear the word of God. They asked God to speak, and when he spoke, they didn't like what he heard. Isaiah was such a man. He had to speak the word of God. And God says to him, do not fear. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. I think that's an encouraging word for him, don't you? But that's an encouraging word for the church, because God with us, if God is with us, we do not need to be afraid. We don't need to be dismayed, because he's our God. And what will he do? He will strengthen us. He will help us. Can you put that back up? I've lost it on the back. He will strengthen us. He will help you. Help us. He will uphold us with his righteous right hand. That's his presence with us every day. So we find in the New Testament this prophecy in Isaiah is fulfilled. Again, we read it at Christmas. We'll probably read it in our carol service. And it says this, Matthew 1, 21 to 23. She will give birth to a son, that is Mary, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him, which means God with us. God foretold that he himself would provide the answer, that he would be with us by his presence. He encourages the man of God, the prophet, to not fear. In Matthew, we find the fulfillment of this amazing declaration, this Hebrew declaration, this statement. Because you know, when God says it, it is done. Do you believe that? When God says it, in whatever part of history God says it, it's already done, even though it will be fulfilled at some point in the time. So Jesus has said he's coming home. He's coming back. He's not back yet, but he's going to come back. And we need to be ready for him. Rachel, could you come and help me? Thank you. Yeah, Rachel, my assistant Rachel, that's it. My lovely magician assistant. Would you hold that? Thank you. Can you hold that as well? Thank you. Great. What's in this cup here? Apart from a scientist. It's empty, isn't it? There's a problem with emptiness. There's a void that comes in emptiness that's terrible. When we're empty, we feel so bad. There's no hope. There's no future. There's no purpose. There's nothing but emptiness. Because quite often what we do is we look at it and go, it's empty. Some people are half glass. If that was half full, would be half empty. Some would be half full. But a lot of people are half empty people. How do we remove emptiness in the glass? By filling it. Rachel, could you fill the glass? As much as you can. That's it. And then pop it on this. As full as you can. On the stool behind you. That's it. You can get some more in there, can you? No, that's full. Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Rachel. You can sit down. I wasn't going to embarrass you. We don't get rid of emptiness by focusing on the emptiness, but by filling the cup with water. How do we get rid of the emptiness in our life? Fill it up with what? Water? With his presence. We don't focus on the emptiness. We fill the cup with his presence and we focus on his presence. God with us. When we focus on being full of him, our whole mindset changes. The way we think, the way we feel, the way we behave. By focusing not on the problem, but on the answer. That water's for you later, Vicky, in case you get thirsty. Matthew 1:21, she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. His presence is so much more than a name. Emmanuel is so much more than a name. God with us. How did Jesus accomplish salvation? Theological question. Alan. no. David Woodfield. Roger Keat, you're in charge of life groups. You've got to have the answers to everything. Where's Roger? Have I seen him? Roger. Medden. He didn't do it by removing evil from the world. He didn't do it by, when he came into this earth, removing all evil. He didn't do that. Salvation came through his presence. Simple answer. Salvation came through his presence. He came into the world. Heaven touched earth. The answer for salvation is not in the earth, it's in heaven. Heaven had to come down to earth. We had to have his presence for salvation. He came into emptiness and he filled it with himself. We know the source of our salvation is not on our good works. It's not on our deeds. It's not how good we are. It's not how many times we read our Bible. It's not how many times we come to an early morning prayer meeting. It's not how many times we do good things for other people. Salvation is nothing that we can do. It's already been done by him, because he's come into this world to be with us, to bring his presence. He's come to fill the emptiness in our life. He's already done it, and he will continue to do it for people that don't know him. It's only his presence that brings salvation. When somebody gives their life to Jesus, Jesus is in the midst. The Holy Spirit is working in the life of that person. He's touching their heartstrings. He's doing something, because the presence of God is there, right there in that circumstance at that particular time for that person. And that person goes, I need Jesus because of the presence. I don't think one person has come to know Jesus because the presence of God hasn't come to them. But you can disagree with me with that if you wish. Jesus never came to take away our problems. He never came to remove our problems. He came to give us the answer. His devotion to us brought his presence. His presence brings his love, his help, his strength to us. Isn't that good news? His devotion brings his love. His love brings his presence. Sorry, his presence brings his love. His love brings help and strength. He gives us his peace. He gives us his joy. God poured the answer into the world. Jesus himself. You haven't left me enough to fill it up, right, Joe? It's the shining of God's light into the darkness. Salvation is the presence of God. How do we overcome sin? How do we overcome it when we're struggling in sin? When we're struggling with things in our life which we know aren't good for us, when we know that God wouldn't really be pleased with that, but we go around in circles. Because quite often we focus on the sin. We focus on the problem. All we do is we consume ourselves with the sin. And we don't pursue the presence of God and allow the presence of God to fill us. And the only way we're going to overcome sin in this world, in our personal life, is the presence of God. That's the only way. You can try and put all kinds of things around you. You can have accountability people to help you in every situation in your life. You can have friends that will pray with you to break the stronghold of sin over your life. But the only way you will overcome sin is the presence of God. He will give you the power over every circumstance, at any time, in any place, to overcome sin. That is why God is with us in every circumstance. If we're struggling with sin today, if we're struggling with problems in our life, the only way we're going to overcome it is to invite the presence of God to come into that situation. And the presence of God will bring light into darkness, and darkness has to flee in Jesus' name. Amen. So we overcome the world because God is with us. We're filled with the answer. And you know, when God is with us, when we pursue his presence, when we are filled with his presence, do you know something wonderful happens in our life? We become carriers of his presence to other people. Do you know why the world is so lost? I'm going to say this and you're probably going to be unhappy with me, but this is true. The world is so lost because Christians don't carry the presence of God in every circumstance. We look like miserable Christians sometimes. We go into a situation and we're already going from a level of defeat rather than a level of victory. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to be full of God's presence and we're going to walk into every situation believing, my God is with me in this situation. And I'm going to carry his presence. And we're going to overcome the world and the mindset of the world with the presence of God. And we're going to see people's lives changed. And we're going to see people healed. And we're going to see people get in the boat with Jesus and they're going to get to the other side because of his presence. And it is all about his presence. And next year we're going to be transitioning from devotion to him into a theme that we're going to be calling Pursuing His Presence. And we're going to be encouraging everybody to go into a different level with God than they've ever been before. Wherever you've been, whatever you've enjoyed in the presence of God, we're going to ask everyone to go deeper with God, to pursue his presence in a way that we've never done before. We're going to believe for miracles. We're going to believe for those people that are sick where there's no hope and the doctor's only given one outcome. We're going to go, no. My God's bigger than that outcome. We're going to go to people that have no jobs and we're going to pray for jobs and we're going to see them get jobs. We're going to people that have major debt problems and they don't know what to do and we're going to go and pray with them. We're going to see their debt problem removed. The church I was at when I left here years ago, we went to this church in King's Standing. It was quite an interesting church. I'll tell you one story about a young man. He was younger than me. And he'd got gambling debts of £750,000. He used to go to the casinos. The guys were coming after him for the money. There was no hope for him in King's Standing. There was one direction he was going, and that was underground. There was no way he could pay £750,000. We prayed. We said, God, unless there is a miracle, this man is dead. So God, show your power. That week, they turned up for him and they said, we don't understand it, but our boss has told you to let you off £750,000. You don't owe us anything. That's a pretty amazing miracle, isn't it? We're going to believe for a town that's got no hope, that our food bank is giving more food out than ever, that the needs that we're finding every day are greater and greater and greater, that our God is with us. He's in the boat and he's going to provide the answer. We're going to do that together, church. Yes? Who's with me? God is with us. If God is with us, then who can be against us? So we're going to carry the presence of God. We're going to be devoted to him. We're going to do everything we can to be devoted to him. Part of our devotion to him is spending that time and pursuing the presence and being filled with God so that we can love him in the way that God created us to do. And we're going to carry the presence of God to other people. That means we're going to behave in the same way that Jesus behaved to the lost and dying world. That means Christians are going to do things in a different way in this town, and we are. We're going to behave like Christians. We're going to behave like Christians. I behave like a Christian already, don't I? We're going to behave in a way that we've never behaved before. Who's up for this? Who's with me in this? Some of you are going like this. Who's with me? You see, Jesus wants us to behave like he would behave. And the only way we can behave like him is to be full of his presence. That's the only way. Because I can't give out what I haven't got. If I'm an empty well, I can't give out water. that's empty, what can I give? Rachel. I can't. But do you know what, Rachel? Do you love your senior pastor? You said to me in that interview, you'd do anything for me. Tell you what, if you're thirsty in a desert, you would love that over you, wouldn't you? And we're people, we are living in a desert though. Rachel, we're living in a desert. We're living in a desert where people are dying every day because they've got no hope, they've got no water. We've got the answer. The purpose is there. So let's see what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, 26, 36. Ben, could you pop up? But to you who are listening, anybody listening? I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Ooh, it's a bit much, God, isn't it? Pray for those who mistreat you. No chance. If someone slaps you on the one cheek, turn to them the other. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend from those whom you expect repayment, what credit is to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But, read it together, love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Do you know what? He's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Do you know who the ungrateful and the wicked used to be? Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. You see, God is in this world so that we can overcome the world. We are already overcomers because of his presence. He's in this world so that we can overcome the world. We cannot do it in our own strength. We need his presence for God to overcome the world. How can we love his enemies? How can we love our enemies? How can we do good to those people that we really don't like? How can we be merciful? Only by God's presence. Being full of his presence. The thing is, the world doesn't know him. They don't know any better. When we see the things that people do to other people, they don't know him. But we do, don't we? We know him. We were once the wicked. Jesus came to us by his Spirit. And he spoke into our lives and he revealed himself. And we go, do you know what? I need you, Jesus. But the world outside doesn't. That's why we need to go into the world and be Jesus and behave like Christians in every circumstance and show them that there is an answer. And the answer is Emmanuel, God with us. We can make him known by our devotion to him and the way we treat others. Jesus was the greatest missionary to this earth. His mission was to come from heaven to earth. His mission field is this earth. He came to overcome the world by his presence. But we, who did not know him, now know him. And we're no longer of this world. When we are born again, we are born from above. This place is our mission field. This place is the place where we do the stuff of life. Where we bring Jesus, the light of the world, into every circumstance. We may go, well, we're not able to do it where we are. Yes, you can. Because people watch us. They observe us. They look into our lives and say, is there something different about that person? They're always smiling. You know, they've gone through a really terrible situation. And do you know what? They are still smiling. And they're talking about forgiving people that have hurt them. This is really strange. You can be Jesus today. God helps us in our mission field to live from our circumstances, to bring presence, his presence to others. And if we really are devoted to him, our devotion will overflow to others. And that's what it's about. So today we're going to respond in a number of ways. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a minute. I don't know all the circumstances, but I know there's enough to be going on with that I could list off today. I could pray for hours into people's problems. But in a minute, whatever your circumstance, I want you to make first of all a declaration. God is with me in my dot, dot, dot. Whatever your dot, dot, dot is, I want you to make a declaration in a minute, and you're going to do that by standing and raising your hand if you can to Jesus, declaring God is with me in whatever that is. You're making a statement today. And God is also making a statement today that he is with you. He's making a declaration from heaven as you do that. So right now, whatever that dot, dot, dot is, if you can stand. If you can't stand, you can just raise your hand where you are. Would you do that right now and raise your hand? You don't have to declare it out loud. You just declare it to the Lord, who can hear every prayer, every time, every minute of the day. You just start to tell him, God is with me in dot, dot, dot. We declare it, Lord Jesus. This is a statement of fact. This is the truth. That you are with me in this. I will not be afraid. I will not be dismayed. For my God is with me to help me, to strengthen me in every situation. I will not be afraid, for the Lord my God is with me. I receive today, Lord, your presence. And Lord, I ask for fresh oil to come across the congregation now from every person as they stand. They need a miracle. They need you to answer them in this situation, Lord. You are God. This is nothing for you. You created the universe. We reach out to you, Father, as your child. And we declare, God is with me. I will not be dismayed. I will not be afraid. For the Lord my God is with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We receive it today, Lord. We receive it today. Worship team, the rest of the worship team, could you come forward unless you want to stand? The rest of us, I just want us to do one more thing. Sometimes we feel we've not been the Jesus person that we should, because we've not had his presence. The cup's empty. In our worship time, in a minute, we're just going to ask the Lord to fill us with his presence again. But I'm going to ask you to respond from a heart that may be empty at this point, but is going to be filled right now in a fresh way. that you are going to be determined to carry the presence of God to others. That there'll be a Holy Spirit boldness for you to talk to people about Jesus, for you to share Jesus and bring the presence of God into every situation, even the most difficult situation you find yourself in, that your feet are placed in by God. And yours is a but answer, and the but answer is but God. Yep, it looks terrible. I agree. But God. And to bring the God into that situation. You may feel you're empty at the moment, but you're going to be filled in a minute with a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit upon you. But from a heart that's willing, again, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand today as a declaration to God that I'm going to behave like a Christian should behave in every circumstance. I'm going to behave in a different way than I've done in the past. I'm not going to come from defeat, but from victory. And actually, people are going to know that I'm your child. It's going to be a big ask, because tomorrow the ask is going to happen, and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday it's going to happen. But you're the presence bringer. From this service, you're going to go and you're going to bring the presence of God. You're going to bring Jesus into the situation right now. If you're willing to do that, would you place your hands in the air, because I just want to pray God's blessing over you today. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, we declare fresh oil over your people so that we can be the people you've called us to be in a world that's lost and dying. We carry your presence now, Lord. We take your presence. We pursue your presence. And Lord, we give it away to those that are lost and broken, in Jesus' name. You see our hands, Lord. Nothing is hidden. Everything is before you today. And Lord, you have a plan for this church, but you have a plan for every individual life, even those that have just walked out this service today. I called you back in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You're his. You belong to him. Rebuke the devourer. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you.